Moray v'Rabbeisai, another edition of Lessons for the Lev, Parshas Kisavo. Tonight's topic is, you're not all that! Question mark, exclamation point. I want to discuss tonight something that bothers me. This is how things usually come to mind of what topics to, pet peeves and things of that nature. So I always wondered the following conundrum that I have. And that is that the beginning of the parsha, happens to be my bar mitzvah parsha, talks about bringing of the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. V'haya ki savo el haaretz, when you come to the land of Israel, you will get the land, v'lakachta me'rishit, you will step from the first of your fruits, kol pri adama shetavio mi'artzecha, asher Hashem lakecha nasan loch, v'samta batena, you'll bring it. As you know, it was pomp and circumstance. And the Gemara in Bikurim discusses this amazing, wonderful mitzvah. This is a mitzvah like no other mitzvah because it describes in great detail, in painstaking detail, specifically in our parsha, this whole process. What's my conundrum? And then he has to say, Vidu Meiser. He has to go ahead and say, and he has to say all those things. And you guys know this is exactly what we say on Pesach. What does it do anything with Pesach? You know, I'm going to the Seder, I do the Manashtana, everything's fine and dandy. Oh, the little kid, okay, it's fun, it's great, it's wonderful. Then we do Avodimor, you do, and okay, things are blooming, you know. You start smelling the matzo ball soup, okay, unless you're in a Hasidic home, there's no matzo ball soup. And you start smelling it, and things are going well, and then all of a sudden you got all these things. What's going on here? What does it have to do? The Parsha Bikurim, yeah, I know, it talks about when, you know, we were, you know, in Mitzrayim and before, and I get it. But what is going on here? What's so important? And what is the pomp and circumstance of this great mitzvah of Bikurim? Pashut question, the Alshech HaKodesh asks. The Alshech says, I don't understand something. We also in the Parsha speak about Maaser Sheni, two different mitzvahs. Bikurim was, in Mitzvah Shem, we should be Zoicha one day. I have the great schus of living here in Eretz Yisrael. And I planted two trees, as much as I can handle as a farmer. Two trees. We have a clementine tree, and we have a rimon tree. I have to tell you, just parenthetically, those listening, especially my lovely alumni, right, those who have ever seen these pathetic trees, so something amazing happened this year. This was our first Shemitah year that we have these trees planted. We came the first Shemitah, we're in our eighth year here in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the first time we have Shemitah. So the Rebbe Shalom gives a bracha that he says that you'll have bumper crop in the eighth year. I have to tell you something. I've never seen so many fruits on my rimon tree and my clementine tree. It's unbelievable. So I don't know if there's anything to do with anything, but the Rebbe Shalom did give us the bracha of not working the land, not working these wonderful trees. We've had more fruits than we've ever had in the history of the Hartstein family in Eretz Yisrael, circa 8 years. But okay, so imagine though, I bring all of this Bikurim up to the Beis HaMikdash. Might not be a lot, as I told you, right? Picture the tree, the first few years, it doesn't grow a lot. And you bring it up, but as you're going up, you start to enter Yerushalayim. Woo! Hartstein! Woo! Yeah, people start clapping like the Lahavdil, like you're in the Jerusalem Marathon, and the elders come out, and the person who has, you know, they talk about stringing the pearls. And they see you, they have to stand up, and all the pearls go all over the place. It goes all over the place. That's the halacha. You have to go ahead and do that. And then you get it, you get up there, and attend the miyadach, and they take this basket. The whole thing, the kohen, and you say, Videi Mais, what's going on here, the Alshech asks. In the same portion, we talk about Maaser Sheni. One could argue Maaser Sheni is actually much more of a commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Today we keep Maaser Sheni. We're supposed to give 10% of our profits to tzedakah. That's not an easy thing to do, right? Let's say, I'll give you an example of a person, I don't know, let's call him Daniel, okay? Daniel works in the business world, right? And Daniel works in the business world and he makes a whopping $1 million. $1 million, Rabbi Isai. So now he has to give 10% of that to Stucker. So anybody, I don't know, $100,000, something like that. I'm not a director of finance. I don't know. So he gave, right? Say, what? So he has to give. And then, Ribbono Shel Olam, Nebuchadnezzar Elenu, he moves from the business world. Let's say this Daniel works in, I don't know, a yeshiva. Okay? So he starts working in the yeshiva. And he doesn't make $1 million, he doesn't make 1 million shekel. Right? He's making nothing. The guy's Nebuch. He's trying to scrounge money from a soda machine, from profit. It's very hard. And now he makes less, and now he's Nebuch. He could only give $10,000 or whatever. He could only give, right, 10,000 shekels, whatever. And that's harder, in my opinion. So now he goes to the Beis HaMikdash. It's so hard for him. He's got the 10,000 shekels. He's going up there. He didn't do that well. Nobody's clapping for him. Nobody's unstringing their pearl. What happened? The Bikurim, huh? So what the Alshach says, what's going on here? And furthermore, says the Alshach so beautifully, he says, I don't understand. If you look at the Midrash, the Midrashim that speak about the Parsha of Bereshis, Bereshis Bara Elokim. Why did it start with Bereshis? Bereshis Lashon Reshit. Not Reshis, but Reshit. The beginning. Reshit of what? Says Reshit comes from Bikurim. Bikurim is the first. The first one, that's what the Torah is created for, the mitzvah, Bikurim. Really? Bikurim is, what's so important about Bikurim? So the easy answer that many people give is Bikurim is the ultimate thank you to God. That's true. Hakara Sato, but that's not what I want to speak to tonight. I want to speak to what the Alshach's answer is. That, yes, on a scale, maybe Bikurim is less fancy, but it's a commitment to saying to God, I'm not all that. Right? We often play, some of us, often play, you play basketball, whatever, and you get the ball, and somebody will have confidence in you, will they say, it's all you, it's all you. It's a nice thing to say, but it's not really all you, right? And especially when you miss the shot. It wasn't all you. But it gets you focused on, it's not all about you all the time. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that gave you this. You went ahead and you planted, and you did, and you worked, and you look, and finally some fruits grew up. Not a lot, but finally you can get the courage to go into the house to see, honey, we moved to the land of Israel. I know it's desert, but I made it work. Look at these pomegranates that we've grown. Oh, but you can't eat it. I'm going to the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, come on. But Bikurim, you bring it up and you say, no, everything belongs to you. Next time we'll get more. Later on we'll get more. That is such an important statement to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not all about me. In fact, the Perush, the Kedus Yitzchak, says, that's why it says, the Lakachla Mirishi, take from the Kol Priya Adama, Asher Tavi Me'artzacha. Because I, first thing I say, Me'artzacha, it's my land. I did it. Kotim Yod Yasi Yitzchayil. Hashem, then you say, Asher Lokecha No Seima. No, God gave it to me. It's a realization of God gave us everything that we are, whatever we are. That's what we're supposed to focus on. And what better time to focus on that than the time that we're in now, Chodesh Elul. Rosh Hashanah is coming. This is the first time I've ever been in yeshiva where Chodesh Elul seems like it's been 6-7 weeks already, right? Normally guys come, the next week Slichos, nobody goes to Slichos. Right? Okay, fine. Now you have like 2 weeks not to go to Slichos, you know? Like, gotta prepare for it now. But the bottom line is, you have a lot of time to prepare for Elul. So what are you preparing for? So one of the preparations is a very difficult point, and I know this is not such a comfortable point for some of you. And that is to spend some time doing something which I know is in our society maybe even illegal in some states, and that is think. Put away your phones, put away your lives, think. Spend some time with yourself. Nowadays, they like call it things now. Hisbodudus. They call Hisbodudus. You have to go to a forest and start screaming. Think a little bit. And when you think, maybe you'll say to yourself, you know what? I came with preconceived notions about myself to this yeshiva. Right? And a lot of times we think to ourselves, we don't want to admit the obvious. Right? Because I'm so good at other things, so that means I'm so good at the service of God. And it's obviously because I'm good. Everything else is under control. But I'm not all that. God's in control of the world. But I want to get closer to that realization. I'm not there yet. We're all not there yet, obviously. Because if we were in control, you know, when we were finished here, we would all say Alamechia. Without a question. Nobody would remind you. We would have said Baruch. Yeah, God's in control. This is not my food. I'm lucky that I was able to have Harvey Wallbanger cake with just a touch of vodka in it. I'm lucky to be able to have delicious chillin that your Rebbe made with a little touch of vodka in his mouth. So, and beer. But that the point is that that's what it's about. And we know that this year we didn't make brachos when we were supposed to. We know we miss minyan sometimes. And hopefully you won't be that guy that on Wednesday afternoon your tefillin are still sitting on the bima. You know? Like, you don't want to be that guy. You want to say, Hashem, I believe in you. That's what it's about davening three times a day. Right? Imagine when you reach the work world. Our people that are listening, they're in the work world. Our alumni, they're in the work. They're working, and now it comes 4 o'clock, and guess what, Rabbi Yisai? You're in the middle of a meeting, and the sun is going down. What are you going to do? Are you going to go ahead and go to mincha? Or are you going to say, excuse me, I need to go to the bathroom? And, you know, at least in the olden days, we had payphones. And, you know, you got on the payphone and you said, Baruch Atah Hashem, okay, we'll say, okay, you know, pretend you're on the phone. Or whatever, I don't know how you do it now with the, you know, your phones, I don't know. You call Siri, I don't know. Siri, I want a daven mincha. Okay, I'll make a distraction, you know, whatever. Right? Okay, but do you do that? Or you say, oh, Hashem, what do you want me to do? I'm working, I need to make money. You want me to make money? No, Bikurin. That maybe is the focal point of Pesach. We stop and we say, wait, I want to remind you, not just of Arami Oved Avi, not just all the Vanetzach Hashem Elkeinu, which is obviously the story, the mini story of the exodus of Egypt on the Jewish people, but the story of Bikurim, the story of Aman, all that. It's all you, Hashem. That's what we say. It's all you. It's all you, Hashem. I'll tell you something remarkable. Excuse me for saying this if you think this is out of character for a rabbi, but if you continue coming to Lessons Ladies, you'll realize I'm quite out of character for a rabbi. And that's the following thing. I recognize that sometimes when I have friends who watch sporting events, they tell me this, I've never seen a sporting event before, but no, when you watch a sporting event, so sometimes you see the guy, wow, this is amazing, you know, one-handed grab, and he catches the ball, and he hit, called Gansa Maisa. You know, I think about the Oakland Raiders last week. Yeah, you won. That's my life. You know, they won at the last minute, right? Or you got that field goal, the Giants' last second field goal. I don't. This is what I've been told. People told me about this. And right, you get the last second field goal, and you feel good about it. And the kicker, what does he do? Instead of going right, instead of going, yeah, you know, instead of, all of a sudden he goes up to Shemayim. I don't know who he's pointing to exactly, but fine, and he's pointing to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. These people are, really? Okay, the guy gets arrested a few weeks later for doing that. Okay, but for that moment, he said, it's not all me. It's amazing, everybody say. This guy's getting paid $1 gazillion a year, you know, and he recognizes the Ribono Shel Olam. It's amazing. I don't know why, but I will always remember a story from roughly 30 years ago, and this is pretty crazy. It was Tisha B'Av, and I was listening to Kinos. Kinos happened to be given by Rabbi Pesach Oratz. And Rabbi Oratz told us a story of something that he saw once. He said they went to, I'm assuming it wasn't Niagara Falls, we'll hear why in a second, but some waterfall. And there were these people jumping off the waterfall, and, you know, into the river. Not Niagara Falls, obviously, right? They're over a bridge and they were going in. And he noticed that each and every one of them, when they were playing this thing, it was a little bit dangerous, obviously, before they did it, they signed the cross on their body. And he thought that was so amazing, that was so interesting, it was based on one of the kinos. But he said, why? Because it was a total commitment, saying, listen, I know I'm stupid and I'm doing this, but come on, God, save me, you know? Basically saying, it's not all me, it's all you, Hashem. And I think that's the lesson of Bikurim. And sometimes amazing things happen to us. And we just don't know why they happen. Why is it this way? Why is it that way? Why is it... And sometimes, unfortunately, we say, well, you know why it happened. It's me. Now, please don't get me wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand. I want you to believe in yourselves. I've been telling the guys, this is, I think, the third time I said this. But there's a wonderful person. He's not that wonderful because he's not here now. But, and like I say, it is over Y Torah, but it comes to me after I tell you what it is. So he has something from... I've heard of the name of many rabbis, but he said it in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. So I say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, I thought it was Chaim Volozhin, but okay, fine. I said it a few out of the last year I gave. He said the person should have two pieces of paper in his pocket. So if this guy, you ask him, he takes out his wallet, he has two cloths, little cloths, and one cloth says on it, Bishvili Nivra Olam, God created the world for me. And the other piece of paper says, and he offered V'Efer. I'm nothing. Which one is it? Come on, dude. Schizophrenic Jew. Yes, that's what we are. We're schizophrenic Jews. We are. Because we have to also recognize that that is both of that. It's not all me, but it is all me. Rav Hartstein, dude, I don't understand you. Yes, you're supposed to go up Bikurim and feel like $1 million. I'm going up. Not everybody's able to go up to Bikurim. I'm living here in Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody's able to do this. But I'm nothing. I got to rely on God. It's not that you're personally nothing. You're supposed to think a lot about yourself. And I think that's what the dual personality of Rosh Hashanah is as well. Rosh Hashanah is this weird time. Is it happy? Is it sad? We gave a shir on this. Can you cry? Can you not cry? So it's a little bit of both. It's recognizing how fortunate, how lucky we are that we're here for another year. You guys are super fortunate. I mean this in the most serious way. That you've chosen not only to come to Israel for the year, but you've chosen to come to a great place like Yeshiva Lev HaTorah. LevHaTorah.org. And you've decided to come and to at this time of the year, at Rosh Hashanah, and to start the year anew. But on the other hand, you have ways to go. You have to admit to yourself, you know what? I got to work on davening. I got to work on actually liking to learn. I got to admit to my Rebbe, I don't know how to read. I got to admit to my Rebbe that Rashi, I don't know what that is even. That's fine. It's okay. It's the road to success. And Mir Hashem, with that, we should be zeiche to this amazing bracha, the Kasiva Chasima Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. We should be zeiche to recognize the lesson of Bikurim, both on Pesach and Amir Hashem, the time that will actually bring Bikurim, and recognize the fact that everything is reliant on one person alone who is not a person. It's us, on one hand, who is the person, and the amazing things that we can do. We have to believe in ourselves, but it's relying on the Almighty Creator of the world, the Rishis. The world was created for us to recognize what Bikurim is, that God ultimately controls the world. And with that, if we have that in mind, so not only will we have a Chasiva Chasima Toiva, but we'll have an amazing next year, recognizing always that God is always with us, and God, Amir Hashem, will lead us on the right path.